Good morning. Today's reading comes from Romans 8, verses 12 through 17 in the Revised Standard Version. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs of God and will fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Bless the reading of the hearing.
Let us pray. Holy and wonderful God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we have opened the pages of your scripture. We have heard your word. Now, Lord, we ask that you open our hearts so that we can not only hear, but feel and see and taste and sense and be transformed by that word. For Jesus, you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Well, good morning again. Greetings to you in the name of Pittsburgh Presbytery, the Crestfield Ministry team and staff. Oh my goodness, it's only been like 3 weeks since we were together, and it's now here we are again. And how wonderful to see some friends of Crestfield that have come up to Crestfield this morning. BJ and the Permans and the Voglianis and Mrs. Baldwin, and greetings to Maddie and Miles too. Yes. How wonderful it is. You know, family and dancing, they seem to go together. Remember the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1979? We Are Family was their theme song, and there was lots of dancing in the stands and in the neighborhoods of southwestern Pennsylvania when they won the World Series. And I don't know, I'm sort of getting the feeling that maybe it will be like that again this year, huh? Yesterday was good. Family and dancing, they seem to go together. I love to go to weddings in this part of the country. Besides those wonderful cookie tables, there is usually lots of family present. And of course, there is usually dancing. A polka, the hokey pokey, a line dance or two, and if you're lucky these days, the bird dance, you know. Yes, yes, yes. Family and dancing, they seem to go together, like the Trinity does, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. The Trinity has lots to do with family and with dancing, joyful dancing. In Paul's masterfully written letter to the Romans, a people that he longed to be with physically and be with in community wherever he was, Paul writes directly about family and indirectly about dancing, joyful dancing. Let's look at the family portion first. Throughout almost each verse in this passage that we heard this morning, Paul identifies the Roman Christians as family. In verse 12, he specifically addresses the readers and listeners of the letter as brothers and sisters. Didn't the kids even sing about that this morning? Brothers and sisters? Right from the start, Paul wants the Romans to know that he considers them family by calling and identifying them with terms of endearment, brother and sister. Not, hey you, or not fellow Jew or fellow Roman or not even fellow Christian, but brother and sister. A term of belonging together by bonds that should be unbreakable. Bonds of blood, brother and sister.
bonds that are usually considered equal. Further on in verse 12, and then in all of verse 13, Paul goes on to describe the characteristics of the family to which these brothers and sisters belong. He identifies the family members as sinners, debtors, as having a sinful nature that comes to humanity just because we have flesh. It's important to know that in Greek that there is a different word for body and a different word for flesh. In this passage, Paul is using the word sarx, which means flesh, not soma, which means body. Perhaps flesh had the connotation of impure or tainted, whereas body was more acceptable, pure. Yet Paul immediately says in the first and second verses of today's text that the characteristic of sinning because of our humanity, our flesh, does not have to be our defining characteristic. Paul boldly and assertively proclaims, if you live of the sarx of the flesh, you will die. But hear the good news, my friends. If you accept the Holy Spirit in your life and let the Spirit empower your actions, you can live. And with that, your characteristic of being a sinner is changed to what Paul joyfully proclaims in verse 14 as a child of God, not bound to perish because of the flesh and the associated sin, but bound to live because all of you who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Belonging to God's family. How wonderful and joyful to be a community of people that is God's family. For me, that means everything. How about for you? But let's be realistic. Sometimes we just don't want to be part of our family. We might not see the benefits. We might think it's more bother than it's worth. And Paul is a smart man, and he anticipates those feelings. And in verse 15 goes on to help us understand that the benefit of belonging to God's family, to being empowered not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Paul talks about a spirit of slavery and being fearful and cowering. Paul knows this image of slavery will capture the attention of the Romans fast, quick, and in a hurry. First, the slavery reference would easily trigger memories of the past with the Jews in Egypt, and then all those associated times with being treated poorly, not having enough food, working literally until death, not being respected, perhaps with little sense of love and life. Furthermore, this slavery image would relate to the present, to those right then, there, and now in Greece and Rome. This is where his letter was written and heard, and they would know about slavery and how it's an everyday part of their lives then. Possessing a spirit of slavery or being freed from a spirit of slavery would sound powerful in Rome and throughout the world. Perhaps in our geographical area today, the image of slavery is not so powerful. It doesn't give us that knee-jerk, visceral, in our belly reaction that it did during Paul's day. But if we stop and think about it, I am sure that we can each identify with something that we are slaves to today. Perhaps our slavery has to do with our calendar. Perhaps our slavery has to do with our checkbook. Perhaps our slavery has to do with our time. Perhaps our slavery has to do to technology or isolation or the image of the perfect life. I imagine that each one of us are slaves to something in our lives that could bring us death. But Paul tells us, Paul proclaims that slavery and death do not need to be our overarching characteristic. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can belong to a family and be accepted. Through the spirit of adoption, we can belong to God's family and have such a deep, intimate relationship with God the Creator that we can use the language that Jesus himself used when he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he suffered on the cross. My friends, we too, each one of us, can call God Abba. The use of the word Abba is just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the word slavery for Paul. Abba tells us that the Christian sense that God is at hand. God is close at hand. It is an intimate language of children, meaning literally daddy. And highlights that intimate relationship that Paul envisions between God the Creator and the church. God's family, an intimacy that precludes fear and a spirit of slavery. When the spirit of adoption enters, those things that keep us in bondage, in slavery, they are cut loose. And we are God's who bears our yoke and sets us free to experience God's glory. But the identity of the Romans and each of us does not stop there. The discussion of family goes on even more, even deeper in verses 16 and 17. Because this spirit of adoption is Christ's spirit and unites us with our own spirit, Paul again proclaims that we are children of God, adopted children of God. Christians are not just freedmen, the term that was used during Paul's time to identify slaves who were set free. Paul tells us because of the Holy Spirit, we are not freedmen. We are adopted children based on nothing that we did to achieve this, but only based on God's action to accept us. And we are not children. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. We are siblings to Christ, and we inherit like Christ. We inherit all that God desires for us: forgiveness, love, community, belongingness, family. What happens to Christ? Life and resurrection and glory happens to us as siblings of Christ. This passage is filled with the Greek word for with and together. As a family, we are to be together, live together, love together, struggle together, have conflict together, have resolution together. Or as today's psalm concludes, may the Lord bless the Lord's people with peace. As a family, we are to have peace together. And I would also add joy together. This doesn't mean that we will be struggle-free and we won't have suffering and conflict, but this does mean that we should be with each other, together with each other. Are there siblings in Christ that you are not in relationship with as you should be? Are there those in your adopted family, your brothers and sisters in Christ, from whom you are estranged, from whom you are not speaking to, or whom you have not even been with because you are bound by the slavery of time, isolation, or checkbook? This is not what Paul says the Lord wants for us. The Lord wants to be with us. The Lord wants us to be with the triune God and with our family. And that, my friends, is where the dancing, the joyful dancing, comes into play. God is one, yet God is three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Who was it that rang the bell this morning? Henry? He rang it for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It is a doctrine that is never really named in the scripture, but it is present throughout, particularly in the New Testament, the doctrine of the Trinity. It is present in today's passage, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a mystery. It's hard to explain and probably even harder to understand. But that's where our faith comes in. We just need to accept the Trinity, the unity, the community of the three. The Trinity is how God models for us to be family together, distinct but different. The Greek word for describing the Trinity is perichoresis. Perichoresis. It means, are you ready? Joyful dancing! Joyful dancing! Dancing together with joy. The Trinity shows us how we are to be in relationship with each other. Can you describe your relationships with your adopted family, your siblings in Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ as a joyful dance? More than a line dance or a polka or the hokey pokey or even the bird dance, but a dance of love, of distinctness, but also of unity and community, of joyful relationship. If you can, wonderful. Keep on dancing and include more of your brothers and sisters. But if you can't describe your relationship with your Christian siblings as a joyful dance, then these words of Paul are just for you. Each one of us must listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen not just with our ears, but with our hearts. The Holy Spirit will speak deep in our hearts and tell us that each one of us is God's child. Once we hear and realize that, we are compelled to dance joyfully with each other, whatever it takes, and whatever suffering that is associated with making the relationship whole, we must each persevere in that suffering because Christ as our brother is with us. God as our dear, intimate parent who loves us is with us, providing assurance, and the Holy Spirit is empowering us to make our relationships with the triune God and with our siblings right, like a joyful dance. Family and joyful dancing, I think they go together. Family and joyful dancing, I hope that you not only think that they go together, but that you will dance joyfully with our triune God and all your brothers and sisters in Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah.
You want to dance?
Oh, sure.